This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We're going to talk. We are going to get back to some more LA riots. If I get done with that and through all that, just kind of the why around everything, I will get to the Elon Trump spat from last week. We'll get to some emails, renaming Navy ships, and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. But it's Monday. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and you know what that means. That means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. We take a hero, somebody who earned a Medal of Honor, and we talk about it. We read their citation on the air. Sometimes we do a little history around it. This one's a World War I one. And remember, you can email us ones that you love or ones you have a relation to, my uncle, my neighbor, whatever, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we got an email on this one. It's a World War I one. Hey, Jesse, I was nerding out on World War I and reading about the Harlem Hellfighters, stumbled upon Medal of Honor citation for Freddie Stowers. Okay, we'll get to the read here in a moment, but World War I. World War I doesn't get near the play of World War II, and it's not because people don't care. It's a couple different reasons. One, World War II was much bigger. The damage, the loss of life, World War II was simply bigger. And so when the bigger one comes, that's soon after the smaller one. The smaller one kind of gets set aside. That's one. Clyde Drexler. You ever heard of Clyde Drexler? If you're an NBA basketball type, the answer is yes. Everyone's heard of Clyde Drexler. But for most casual people, no. Or maybe you vaguely heard of him. Clyde Drexler was freaking amazing at basketball. You know why he's not a household name? Because he played with Michael Jordan. He wasn't even the best person at his position while Michael Jordan was playing. So nobody even knows him, right? So you get it. World War I doesn't get played for that reason. And World War I doesn't get as much play for another reason. It wasn't as televised. Yes, we have photography from World War I. And yes, we have video from World War I. And they're starting to colorize some of that stuff today, which is really, really cool. That stuff will actually get better and better as the technology increases. But World War II, an unreal amount of World War II was on video, pictures. As part of my week last week, I didn't tell you, I went to the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, which I'd never been to before. The quantity of photographs and videotape, it was all televised. World War I, if you are at all interested in that kind of thing, you should look into it. And World War I was uniquely horrible for a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons was it was the major switch in warfare, where warfare changed from what it had kind of always been into what it kind of is now. I'll explain it in this way. War had always been swords and spears and horses, and I realize this is post-Civil War, so yes, there were guns and advanced guns, muskets, cannons, things like that, but even still, we're talking cavalry charges, and it had changed, but not drastically, and then it wasn't overnight, but I'll use that term, it was overnight, there are machine guns, and you can be the bravest guy in the world, and you can have the finest cavalry troops in the world, and you're all going to die to a two-man machine gun crew. That's how it changed. And guys who joined the service and went off to fight in that war, if you read any of the things they wrote about it, will tell you how shocked they were that that's what war was, because their fathers who served were on horses with swords in their hands. And riding off to war had a certain sense of glory to it. And soon someone's blowing a whistle for you to charge over the trench where you will all die, you and every one of your friends in the platoon. Here, without further ado, is a Medal of Honor citation for a Freddie Stowers, U.S. Army, World War I.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
He's from Sandy Springs, South Carolina, by the way. Corporal Freddie Stowers distinguished himself by exceptional heroism on the 28th of September, 1918, while serving as a squad leader in Company C, 371st Infantry Regiment, 93rd Infantry Division. His company was the lead company during the attack on Hill 188, Champagne-Marne Sector, France, during World War I. A few minutes after the attack began, the enemy ceased firing and began climbing up onto the parapets of the trenches, holding up their arms as if wishing to surrender. The enemy's actions caused the American forces to cease fire and come out into the open. As the company started forward and when within 100 meters of the trench line, the enemy jumped back into their trenches and greeted Corporal Stowers' company with interlocking bands of machine gun fire and mortar fire, causing well over 50% casualties. Faced with the incredible enemy resistance, Corporal Stowers took charge, setting such a courageous example of personal bravery and leadership that he inspired his men to follow him in the attack. With extraordinary heroism and complete disregard of personal danger under devastating fire, he crawled forward, leading his squad toward an enemy machine gun nest, which was causing heavy casualties to his company. After fierce fighting, the machine gun position was destroyed and the enemy soldiers were killed. Displaying great courage and intrepidity, Corporal Stowers continued to press the attack against a determined enemy. While crawling forward and urging his men to continue the attack on a second trench line, he was gravely wounded by a machine gun. Although Corporal Stowers was mortally wounded, he pressed forward, urging on the members of his squad until he died. Inspired by the heroism and display of the bravery of Corporal Stowers, his company continued the attack against incredible odds, contributing to the capture of Hill 188 and causing heavy enemy casualties. Corporal Stowers' conspicuous gallantry, extraordinary heroism, and supreme devotion to his men were well above and beyond the call of duty, following the finest traditions of military service, and reflect the utmost credit on him in the United States Army. And obviously, he died for his country. Just want to encourage you again, before we get back to the LA riot stuff, which we will get to, World War I set the stage for World War II. So maybe you're a nerd on World War II like I am. I don't know how you can study World War II without studying World War I. Because one not only directly led to the other, there are people who say it's the same war. There was a brief pause and then it's just a continuation of the exact same war. And I think about this a lot, the young men who marched off to war thinking it was going to be swords and charges and glory, and it ends up with you rotting in a trench. And, you know, in that citation, they mentioned the machine guns opened up and 50% casualties. That's light for some of the units in World War One. Sometimes it was 100%. Everybody in your platoon gone like that. Everybody. That's how extreme the tactics just didn't catch up to the military technology yet. And it was an unbelievably terrible affair. Okay, we are going to get back to the LA riots now that the Marines are on the way. Before we do that, let's do this. Democrats have filled up your country with criminals. Not only domestic criminals they've let out of prison, but as you can see, they've brought in as many as they possibly can. Do you operate as if that's the case, or are you still pretending you live in the same country your grandparents lived in? You should carry something on you to stop a bad person from hurting you at all times. And this is where people will step in and they'll say one of two things. I'm not a gun guy. I'm not a gun girl. Jesse, I don't like guns. Or, Jesse, I'd love to, but it's not legal here. I understand that. That's where BYRNA comes in. BYRNA. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher. It's so compact. They have a compact launcher now. It's the size of a smartphone, and it shoots tear gas balls 400 feet per second. If you are a woman, slips right in your purse and your little jogging shorts. If you're a dude, it slips right in your pocket. I carry mine in my pocket. You know I carry lethal? I carry non-lethal too. It is insane not to have one of these. If you've sent your daughter off to college, get her one. Your mom, your dad, BYRNA. These things are in Sportsman's Warehouse. They're in other retail stores. You want to go try one before you buy one? You want to go buy one from a retail store? Go to BYRNA.com. BYRNA. BYRNA.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. As far as the riots go, we still are going to get to how we should respond. We're going to get to the Democrats' media, why they're saying the things they're saying about it. I have to get to those two things still. Before I get to those, I have to get to what I owe you. I promised you a reminder about illegal immigration. Why would the communists activate their street groups to cause such a ruckus about deportations? Why? Of all the issues, because they pick and choose. They can activate their street animals anytime they want. Why would they do this? Importing illegals en masse, really doesn't even have to be illegals, importing foreigners, legal and illegal, en masse, it is not a side issue to communists. Some issues are central. Some are just kind of side things they feel obligated from one reason or another to play along with. A side issue for the communists of our world, the Western leaders, the globalists, whatever word you want to put on it, a side issue would be the tranny stuff. Now, I realize there's a lot of money and all that LGBTQ demon mob stuff, but that's not central to communist plans. It's beneficial. It helps line their big pharma buddy pockets. It helps completely mentally and physically destroy young men and women who will vote Democrat until the day they commit suicide. All those things are nice side benefits, but they're not central to their plans. And let me tell you a little secret. One no Democrat in America will tell you, and one you'll never hear them say out loud. You know, a large portion of America's Democrats are hoping the tranny stuff goes away. They know it's politically unpopular. They're tired of having to defend it, and they just don't care about it that much. That's a side issue. The mass importation of foreigners is not a side issue to communists. It is everything to them. Remember, they're fighting a revolution. Who is their enemy? Who's their enemy? Well, who's the main opposition to them? Who's the main entity stopping their revolution? You want to hear something? Bet you don't think about it like this. It's you. Did you know that? Did you know that it's not just America's communists? Canadian communists stress about you. Doesn't that make you feel good? Communists in the UK stress about you. In Germany, in France, they stress about you. Did you know that? They don't sit and stress about the Republican Party. They don't sit and stress about that. If you are an evil communist Western leader trying to burn your country down, trying to burn all of Western civilization down, the American right winger represents the largest, most well-armed, most powerful opposition to you. He is the main thing stopping your revolution. Without the American right winger, virtually everything decent in Western civilization collapses overnight. Did you know that? Did you know that if these people could drop a nuclear weapon on Red America, they could? That's how much they are aware that you are the main problem. So, since they can't drop that nuclear weapon on you yet, what do you do? Replace you. Bring in as many people as humanly possible who hate this country or in the very least feel no loyalty to it. Buy their loyalty with generous handouts. Hey, you can have welfare and you can have Social Security and this. And soon you are outnumbered and they have to stop worrying about you, or they get to stop worrying about you. The mass importation of foreigners is the central thing that holds up communism and Western civilization. Without it, it disappears virtually overnight. If it was only patriotic Americans and normal American Democrats, normal American Democrats would be outnumbered, overwhelmed, and they would be smashed immediately. The mass importation of foreigners has been focused on by the American left and the low-T GOP for decades because it is their everything. Without it, they are nothing. With more of it, they will win. It's that big. They could care about nothing else. And if they could win on that, they would win on everything. And vice versa. If they lose on that, it doesn't matter how many kids they tranny. It doesn't matter what other side issue is successful. Without the mass importation of disloyal foreigners, many of them criminals, American communism collapses. There is no Democrat Party anymore without the mass importation of foreigners. This is not a side issue. It's their everything. So when the Trump administration, brilliantly, I might point out, bravo, Donald Trump, when the Trump administration starts sending ICE into these blue havens for these people in Denver, that's why they sent them into Denver, sent them into Boston, sent them into Chicago. They've got them in Minneapolis. They're freaking out up there, sending them into Los Angeles. What are they doing? Well, one, you're going where most of the illegals are. Most of the illegal criminals are. They gather there because that's where they're safe. Two, you are attacking the enemy's main problem, main issue in his heartland. You are behind enemy lines and you are laying siege to his capital. That's why they activated the troops right now. We'll finish this up and talk about the why, the responses. Before we do that, let me talk to you about, you know, we were talking about how our taxpayer dollars fund much of the communist activism. But there was another part of that, wasn't it? Corporate dollars fund communist activism. Millions and millions and millions of corporate dollars. Your corporate dollars. How much money have you paid Verizon in your life? How much money have you paid AT&T, T-Mobile? Did it ever occur to you when you pick up your phone and you open up Twitter and you're looking at some dirty communist throwing rocks at police? Did it ever occur to you that you're paying that communist salary? Why don't you switch to Pure Talk? You know what Pure Talk's doing? They're raising money to give away thousands of Allegiance flags, the best American flags. They're made in America. They're giving those out to veterans. You want to support a company like that? Dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly and switch to Pure Talk. Pound 250, Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Now, I'm going to attempt to finish up this L.A. riots talk right now. I realize I should probably address what I think about the Marines going there in more detail, and I'll get to that. But I first want to discuss the media Democrat response to it. Why do they respond the way they're responding? The media, let's start there. Why do they say things like this?
Look, on one level, protests are always about images, about spectacle. You might even say it's about theater. And we are seeing that play out in L.A. And I think it's valuable to have that perspective as we see some of these pictures, especially as we zoom out and we recognize that the unrest is isolated, is not overtaking the entire city of L.A. L.A. is home to millions of people, most of whom are having a normal day here on Sunday.
It's not that bad. Lots of people are having a normal day. Why do they say stuff like that? Why do they say things like this?
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Why do they say things like this?
Demonstrations had been going on right outside the federal detention center. Most of those demonstrators were very peaceful. They were chanting, they were shouting. People were...
That is peaceful. Well, look, it's what they do. Media does it all the time. Of course, I played a little bit earlier, but you remember how they covered it when America's cities were being put to the torch after St. George Floyd died.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
What you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin, over the course of the night, a second night since Jacob Blake was seen shot in the back 7 times by a police officer. And what you are seeing now, these images came and come in stark contrast to what we saw over the course of the daytime hours in Kenosha and into the early evening, which were largely peaceful demonstrations in the face of law enforcement.
Why did they cover that? Tell you what, pause on that for a second. I have a 16-year-old boy and a 14-year-old. My 16-year-old, his name is James, and he's a great kid. Let's say James goes out with his friends one night, and let's say somebody brought some eggs along, carton of eggs. They, of course, have an axe to grind with their school, because which 16-year-old doesn't have some sort of an axe to grind with their school? And let's just say James and the boys look at each other and think, hey, why don't we go throw some eggs at the school? Smear up the sides, ruin the paint, blast some eggs off the windows. Let's go throw some eggs at the school. They go out, they throw a bunch of eggs. They're trying to escape, and cops pull in behind them. 4 kids, all of them apprehended by local law enforcement for vandalizing the local school. It, of course, would be all over the town. All the moms would be talking about it. There'd be a police report about the whole thing. It would be well known. Now, me, how would I discuss that if I chose to talk about that? And of course, you know I would. How would I present that story to you? All right, let's set you aside. Let's say I'm talking to a neighbor. I'm talking to my mom. I'm talking to a friend. How would I describe James and his actions on that night? Even if I was mad at James, and of course I would be, I'd kill him. But even if I was mad at James, even if I punished him, and of course I would, how would I talk about James? Would I come to you, if we're friends, would I say, man, you're not going to believe what this dirtball kid last night. I'm telling you, he's just a bad kid. He went out with his dirtball friends and vandalized public property. He broke the law, and I think he's a bad seed. And I tell you what, I think they should lock him up. I think they should lock him up and keep him locked up, because that dirtball is going to be a career criminal. Send him to state prison right now. I can't believe what a dirtball he is. Would I say that? Of course I wouldn't, would I? Even if I was mad at him, what would I say? Oh, you're not going to believe what James did last night. Oh, I'm so mad at him. You see, he's got these friends, and his friends, they're bad kids, man. James is a good kid. James has always been a good kid. He obeys us, very respectful. His friends, though, man, they can really get into some bad stuff. And James let his friends talk him into going to the school and throwing the eggs, and then he got busted. And look, obviously he's never going to do something like that again. I'm so mad at him about it, but I can't believe it. Of course that's how I would present it. Now, why would I present it in that way? Because he's my son, and I love him. And I don't want to put him, because he's my son, because I love him, I don't want to put him in bad light in front of other people. I want to not only protect him physically, I want to protect his reputation. He's my son. Why does the media, whenever the street animals are looting and burning and hurting people, why do they say things like this?
Demonstrations have been going on right outside the federal detention center. Most of those demonstrators were very peaceful. They were chanting, they were shouting.
You can see the cars burning. We have cops who've already got shattered arms. It's so out of control that we're sending in the Marines. You can see with your own eyes when Kenosha, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, when cities are burning, and the media will stand up and tell you how peaceful it is. Why? For the exact same reason I gave you the shiniest possible story about James throwing eggs at the school. The exact same reason. The American media, they're all communist revolutionaries. They feel linked, joined with the communist street animals in this country. And because they're communists first and journalists second, remember, the communist puts nothing before its communism, no matter what his role happens to be, he's always a communist first. The American media feels an obligation to always present communist activism in the nicest possible terms. If you're a white Christian who spits on the sidewalk, they'll run a 30-minute story that night on why you're a worthless piece of trash who deserves the death penalty. Why? Because you're viewed as an enemy of the revolution. But when the animals take to the streets, waving Mexican flags, burning things down, the American media looks at that and they see fellow travelers. They see allies, and they run to protect them. That is why. For the American journalist, and believe me, I say that with the biggest air fingers quote in the world, for the American journalist, they see communists throwing eggs at the school, and now they know they have to find a way to tell mom about it. So you better present that in the nicest possible terms. Oh, but everyone can see that they're lying. Well, of course they're lying.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Just because you can see they're lying doesn't mean they're going to stop lying. That brings us to, how should we deal with it? What do I think about the Marines going in? Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. So excited to be here. Now let's discuss, before the next hour, we're going to do a bunch of emails. I will briefly address the Trump Elon dust up because I wasn't here for it, and everybody and their brother emailed about it last week. So I'll briefly address that, but I do need to discuss how we should respond, because there's a lot of hand-wringing about this on the right now, and it's understandable hand-wringing. Remember at the very beginning of the show, we talked about the term. Communists are trained in this, remember? They will use this term. You can go read it yourself. A decision dilemma. They do these things because it creates a decision dilemma. When these things happen, let's say you're Donald Trump right now. What do you do? Do you let it go? Well, you can't really do that. If you let it go, then these animals will go crazy. Your ICE agents won't be able to deport someone. If you let it go, it'll not only destroy LA, it'll not only stop your deportation efforts, you will encourage more of it around the country. You can't let it go. That's not a good solution. Do you lock and load? Live ammo? Weapons free? Put them down. Draw a line in the street. Second day cross it. Pop, pop. Game over. How's that look on TV? How's that play? Not good. A decision dilemma is what they intentionally cause because they give you no great options. No great options. Now, that said, you have to put it down viciously and quickly. And I am aware, before you send in your email, I am aware, as I just laid out, of what happens then, of all the problems that will come then, of how the media will cover these terrible things happening to their children, which again is how they see these people. I'm aware of how all these Democrat senators and congressmen will discuss it. I know. I totally get it. I'm aware. But allow me to read you, once again, as we have before, a Solzhenitsyn quote. Remember, Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he was not a bystander to communists, to communism, to what happens. He lived through hell. He watched as communists took over his country. He saw what happened to the people. He saw the murder, the torture, the misery, the despair. He himself spent a great deal of time in their gulag system. This is not somebody who watched, who wrote about it, who did a podcast about it. Alexander Solzhenitsyn lived it. And this is what he had to say. Remember when he says enemies of the human race, enemies of humanity, that's what he called communists. Quote, during my time in the camps, I got to know the enemies of the human race quite well. They respect the big fist and nothing else. The harder you slug them, the safer you will be. I understand the dilemma the Trump administration is in. I understand full well how the media will cover everything. I understand how Democrat politicians will respond. I get it. You don't have any choice. You have to put it down and put it down hard now. And that brings me to the Marines, bringing in the Marines. I'm very familiar with the Marine units going there. Very familiar. I'll just leave it to you that way. I'm very familiar with them. These are infantry Marines. Infantry Marines. They are hard men. They don't do this on the weekends. It is 7 days a week. They are training. They are weapons training, physically training. They are training with their hands. These are tough people, okay? There is, depending on how they're deployed, there is a chance we are going to get blood in the streets of LA. And I know what I just said. I want this thing put down hard. But on a little bit of a zoomed out level, I don't celebrate that as a country. Isn't that a terrible place to be as a country? where you have to send in the Marines to one of our biggest cities to violently put down communist rioters so you can deport criminals. I mean, on a macro level, isn't that a really bad place to be as a country? That's terrible. I hate it. I'm not cheering, believe it or not. I know everyone thinks I'm over here cheering. I'm not cheering. I want it put down. I want it put down hard, but that this is where we are sucks. If they deploy these Marines on the front lines of the riots, if you will, if they're deployed on the front lines, if they're deployed with live ammunition, and I don't know any of that yet. I don't know the rules of engagement. I don't know what they're going to be allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. I don't want to sit and pretend like I know how this works. But if there's live ammo, and if you put these guys out there where the Molotov cocktails are getting thrown, where the concrete blocks are getting thrown, I'm telling you right now, somebody's going to die. Someone is going to die. This is not a group of men who will hold back. This is a group of men where they beat it into you. You are trained to respond violently. You are taught that they demand it. You are taught aggression and you are taught violence and you're taught to do it quickly. You don't hesitate. Say, no. Immediate. You know what Marines are taught about ambushes? Tell me this doesn't sound nuts. I mean, I get it. It's correct, but it sounds nuts. You know that, let's say you're walking patrol and boom, point man steps on a mine, gets cooked off with something, and there's an ambush. You have contact left. There's an ambush to your left, and they open up on you from the left. Do you know Marines are taught to charge into it? Doesn't that sound insane? That's what you're taught. That's the Marine mentality. You're sending those guys into the streets of Los Angeles. Telling you right now, if you're one of these communist rioters, it will be a good time to go home. The National Guard is not coming. The cops are not coming. This is a whole different animal that's coming. Oh, and I forgot to mention, most of these guys are combat veterans who've seen war. Good luck. Let me know how it works out for you. Let's move on, talk about Musk and Trump and other things. Before we do that, let me talk to you about finding a quality employee. You don't want to make the mistakes I've made here. You want to work with decent people. What, Chris? I wasn't just talking about you. You're just half of it. You want to work with decent people. You want people who can do the job, not people like Corey. That's why ZipRecruiter exists. ZipRecruiter, when you go to ZipRecruiter and you sign up, you know that 4 out of 5 employers find somebody in the first day. The employees, that next employee that you need, he's already there. She's already sitting there waiting for you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and go meet her. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, your next employee that's going to take you to where you need to go, is waiting for you. Stop taking ads in the paper and go find somebody quality. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right, the Trump-Elon blow-up. Briefly, next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.